Yo, how you doing, families? It's your boy, The Fishman. That's the two R's. Feel free to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, you name it. Coming to you live from the Shine Love Podcast. Feel free to follow us on all platforms. But today, I'm bringing you a special small business by a Black-owned woman. It is called Signs.Candles, okay? Feel free to follow her on Instagram at Signs.Candles. If you've ever smelt a candle that can turn a house into a home, this is that candle. She uses cocoa soy wax, a wooden wick, and man, she is the... Okay. But go ahead and feel free to follow. Once again, it's your boy, The Fishman. That's with two R's. Feel free to follow us on every platform. And we're coming to you live from the Shine Love Podcast. Peace. Y'all, what's up, families? It's your boy, The Fishman. That's with two R's. Feel free to follow me on whatever platform you decide. I'm tuning in from the Shine Love Podcast with my lovely co-host. Hey, baby.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey. No, honey nut. This is Alley Cat here. K-A-double-T. And you follow me on Instagram.
All right, cool.
Oh god.
That was smoother though. It came out a little better than the last five times. All right, but look, so wait, real quick, what wine we got? What wine we sipping on today? Apparently, all right, so let me tell y'all a story. Alex bought this wine a week ago, and I drank it all by myself, so she never actually tried it, so she can reintroduce the wine that she bought a week ago, and I didn't even know she bought it, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I brought it for the podcast as well, so about the same one. It's called Imagery. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon, and 13.5.
Okay. Wow.
Percent.
Okay.
Not bad. That's probably why you was
Schmizz and Dre.
I ain't even gonna put you out there like that.
I was Schmizz and Dre's, right. But all right. So you know that's what we drink. We drinking a nice red. Go ahead, let's toast it up. To good luck, to good success. Come on.
Ooh. I don't know how you drink this whole thing by yourself. No, it's good, but I'm
it's alright.
Listen. You got a little bite at the end.
All right, cool. Well, listen, feel free to pick this up at your local stores. If any wine companies want to, you know, get us to try their wines on the podcast, you know, feel free to reach out.
Sponsor.
You know what I'm saying?
Sponsor.
Okay. Nah, but before we even jump into what we're talking about today, babe, I want to ask you, what's like your piece of gratitude for this week that you have?
Okay, so my piece of gratitude for this week is actually just setting time aside. Like, yeah. I'm learning this week. Well, I mean, throughout all life. Weeks, but yeah, life in general. Right. But this week, I was like, wow, I really have to, like, allocate time to do the things that, like, I want to do, that I like to do, because I end up neglecting myself neglecting the stuff that I really like, and then I'd be like upset at myself at the end of the day. So, and that's also causing me a little anxiety. So, yeah,
for sure,
yeah. So, I'm just glad that I found that,
yeah.
What about
you know, you? Before I even go into my gratitude, not good. One of the reoccurring themes I've been seeing is self sabotage, like, I've been seeing that a lot this week.
Yeah,
and one of the like, I saw a post on Twitter, and it was like, one of the ways that we self-sabotage is by keeping ourselves up at night because we never have control of our time throughout the day. And I thought that was so crazy. I was like, yo, I really be up doing nothing, but it makes me feel good that I have my ownership of this time.
Yeah.
And one of the ways I've been self-sabotaging is because I don't have control of my time, During the day, I like make it up somehow, and then now I'm tired for the next day.
Yeah.
And So I wanted to add on to that because I saw it as a recurrent theme. So if that's a recurrent theme for you, tell us a way that you self-sabotage, but not only that, because we're a very solution-oriented team, all right? Okay. Tell us how you kind of remediate that, how you fix that, all right? But my piece of gratitude actually came today.
Ooh.
So one of my coworkers, so my kids, you know, we on Zoom learning, so one of the things I do in a classroom, I use like accents while I'm like reading or like just talking, right? And so I don't know how, but one of the kids just started like bringing in the accent, and I was like, that accent is not good. Let's go ahead and restart. If you're gonna come with an accent, you gotta be good.
Okay.
And no, but they came with an accent, and it wasn't necessarily about the accent, but like, they're reading science material, and so the words are like hard, right? So now they like had a, like, you can get very defeated by looking at the words, right? And so they was able to like still read it with their accent. They like laughed it out.
Like make it fun.
Make it fun. It was like, really dope. Like
to remember. Wow.
It was dope. Come it was dope. On. And that happened today. So
come on, teacher.
Gratitude doesn't have to happen.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was dope. It was dope. But real quick, I wanted to jump into like, first off, what book are we reading? Talk to us about the author. Go ahead and show it off because we got to jump into the podcast.
Right. So we have Between the World and Me.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. By Ta-Nehisi Coates. I hope I'm saying his first name correctly.
I call him Mr. Coates.
Mr. Coates. you gotta learn his name.
Nah, for sure.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope. And if I'm not saying it right, I'm a Google it.
Yeah. And I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay. Between the World and Me. Such a really awesome book. Picked it up and actually, you know, me and Hassan have
We both have
copies.
The book.
Yeah,
right.
Two copies of the book, and I was so blown because he had it the whole time, and I went and bought it. And I was like, "Wow, I could have saved my little coin, but it's okay.
Nah, it's
putting
dope.
Money in the pocket.
It's dope.
Right. It's okay.
Mr. Coates is a very intelligent black man. I watched an interview that he did, and it was just so profound. And I just love people who make me think and people who like force me to challenge the way I've been thinking about things before, even as a black man to another black man. It's like, wow, I didn't even think about that. But one of the things that has been a recurring theme for me has been about like black spaces.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in the book he called it like a Mecca. And no, we're not talking about Howard U, all right, because I know they call that the Mecca. But just in thinking about that, real quick, what does it look like for you to have a safe space? What does a safe space look like for you?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with that first, and then I got my follow-up
then
question.
Gonna, okay.
I got my follow-up.
I hope
you
know you're going to answer that yourself.
Oh, yeah, not for
why?
Sure. For
don't
sure.
try to trick back me. So safe space looks like just a place where I can, and it sounds so cliche, but I can just be myself and being myself as in bringing my my ethnicity, bringing my race, okay, whatever, my blackness, bringing all that's important to me, my art, my just. Yeah, bringing everything that's about me to the space and not being like critiqued or judged and brought down, but just accepted. Like, not even. I mean, praise can be a part of it, but it's not vital for me. It's just somewhere I can just be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To be honest, I think I love that she brought praise because for me. This is not a Leo thing. Shout out to all the Leos out there. This is not a Leo thing, I promise. But I think praise is important. I think praise is, let me know I'm good.
Yeah.
Let me know I'm good. Let me know I'm good. Okay. Let me know I'm it.
Yeah.
Because I did something right.
You need to be pretty. You did good.
Words of affirmation.
You did that.
Nah. Okay. So, hearing about how you talk about safe spaces. I think honestly, that's what like everybody wants, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I was about to come and say the same thing in different words, but to be honest, right, we all kind of want these safe spaces. But I guess for me, right, and this is where I was left kind of puzzled with, right? Uh-huh. How do we create rigid lines within our safe spaces, right? Whereas things that we don't want to be a part of the community are not able to enter while not ostracizing the people that are in the community.
Okay, can you give me like an example?
So, okay, in thinking about, you know, my Black LGBTQ community, right? Mm-hmm. How do we create a rigid line to people that are, you know, destroying little kids, pedophilia, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But still creating a safe space to make sure that they feel welcome, that they know that they have a place within this community. Because I know often whenever I think about a safe space, before I started, you know, getting my knowledge up and whatever about the world around me, I didn't always include them, right? Okay. And I'm gonna be honest in that. Mm-hmm. But how do we then go about actually creating this space for them to make sure that, like, yo, you're welcomed here, and the people who are actually obstructing our peace are not? How do we create? How do we go about creating that? I mean, if you don't have the answers,
I don't. Yeah,
yeah.
Because I think what's getting me is like the rigid line part of it. I guess that's what's kind of tripping me up just a bit, because, you know, we think of safe spaces or safe communities as like people who look like us, who belong to our group.
Yeah.
And when you're not a part of that group, you're in the out group.
Yeah.
And you're, as like the word you use, ostracized because like you don't belong to that group.
Exactly.
So like, are you saying like, how do we like bridge that gap?
Yes, because that's where I'm at, right? I'm at a place where I just want to be solution oriented. I want to figure out how do I make my Black brothers and sisters who maybe have different perspectives than I do,
right.
Maybe have different love interests than I do, but I want them to also feel good in my space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think often about Black spaces, I often see that people who wish to create Black spaces don't often include them. So then my question is, well, how do we include, how do I make sure that like my family feels good? How do I make sure that people that I care about still feel loved, still praised, because you're not a lot of praise, right? But also just feel like they're in a space where they're
just welcomed and a part of. And I think that, oh man, I feel like that takes so much like, I don't want to say education because that sounds like, you know, sit down and listen,
right.
More so of like awareness of like yourself and like the homophobia that like arises within you. And it's like that I think that needs to be the boundary. That needs to be like the line. It's like, you know, everyone is welcome, but if you're like homophobic, I feel like you can't enter the space. And that sounds like, I think they're just, or I'm not gonna say like you can't enter the space, but it's like you need to be checked. And I think that be the issue. We're not checking, you know, all of the little nuances and microaggressions that happen. And we just let it slide. And, you know, that needs to be checked. And it was something that I had read earlier, and it was like, check behavior, not people. So, and I mean, some people are so like deeply
rooted, like,
rooted in
whatever that is,
whatever type of.
I think for the sake of the conversation, like, I don't want it to be a thing where we're sitting here just talking about the LGBT community,
right?
It's like, that we're using that as a microcosm for like the greater,
because it's all different
idea, type, right? Yeah. There's Muslims, right, who are not welcomed in a Christian community.
Yeah.
There's Christians who are not welcomed in, right? So it's a greater conversation that I feel like maybe you know, I would love to have someone on the show so they can really kind of like, I'm gonna ask this question again.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was very like important to think about, right?
Yeah.
How to create authentic spaces for people that look like us.
Yeah.
You feel me?
And then we're so like multidimensional, right? That it's, yeah.
You know, but honestly, in order to create that, I honestly believe we have to see ourselves as multidimensional people. I feel like we don't. I feel like we in a way see ourselves as one dimensional. We see ourselves as maybe two, right? But like, we don't see ourselves as these like three-dimensional beings being able to connect with this, that, and the third, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do see certain layers, but I feel like we miss a lot of them. Right. We miss how, you know, I'm going to just take myself, for example. People don't know my mother is Christian and my father is Muslim. And I remember all the time. I even made a post on it. I remember all the time growing up and people was like, yo, you have to pick one. Well, that's exhausting. Right.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine what my cousins feel, what my nephews feel, who are also biracial, right? Because that could be a whole nother situation in itself, right? How do we even tackle that to make them still feel like, yo, you, at the end of the day, you one of us, and you got to identify with one of us, but like, some of the things you're saying is identifying with them, and we can't even, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a very, it's like you have to kind of walk the fence and teeter this line, and and I feel like sometimes, even when you don't do a good job of it, or even when you do a good job of it, you still get critiqued on how you walk in, right?
Yeah.
And so, but that was like one thing I really thought was important that I drew from the book, just talking about safe spaces. So now I kind of want to know, like, what did you kind of draw from the book?
Uh-huh.
What was something that really resonated with you?
What resonated with me was like the protection of the Black body and the and the lack thereof of it. It's this quote in here, and oh, I hope I can find it. I really want to read it. Oh, found it. Guess what? Right there. So it says, but all our phrasing, race relations, race chasm, racial justice, racial profiling, white privilege, even white supremacy, serves to obscure that racism is a visceral experience.
Mm-hmm.
That it dislodges brains, blocks airways, rips muscle, extracts organs, cracks bones, breaks teeth. And I just thought about like what? I'm gonna breathe.
Let it marinate. And there's a beat right now. let it marinate for a second.
You know, y'all know I love to read from a book.
Yeah.
I love a good quote.
I think that's about
to be it. I love to read.
Tune in on next episode where she reads
I love it. And he talks a lot about, like, you know, because this is like a letter to his son.
Mm.
And, you know, he's like, your body can be taken away from you.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to also be responsible for other Black bodies that are around you. And it's like, it's not, you know, it's not something that is like, written in a rule book, but it just happens because you are surrounded by Black people, and we relate and we protect and we, you know, love one another.
Yeah.
So it's like you just are automatically appointed.
Mm.
And he talks about like the loss of a friend and how like his life was just taken. And it's so I think like just the protecting the Black body and you know, I'm a body person.
Yeah.
You know, I study dance therapy. So we talk about the body all the time and the role, and you know, how just like in your mind, it's like when you say it out loud, it sounds so crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's so normal.
Yeah.
It's like the body can be taken away at any time, and Black people know that. And it's like not accepted, but it's like no, we gotta tread lightly. Yeah. We gotta, you know, know these things. And so that's kind of what he was saying in the book. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, this is the harsh reality of the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Question.
Okay.
Question.
Okay.
Has there ever been a time where you felt hijacked?
Emotionally hijacked or physically hijacked?
Well,
or both. Because, you know, I think like the emotional hijack kind of goes with the physical.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like as soon as you take away something that like, take away like my feelings or take away like something that is important to me and like that's like disrupted.
Yeah.
My body is like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm fatigued.
Yeah.
So I'm trying. I don't.
I feel like.
That's happened a long time.
Right.
I can't.
Can I tell you one of the easiest ways that it makes me think about how, especially how black male bodies are hijacked by basically saying that boys or men can't cry.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I feel like that's like the easiest,
yeah.
easiest way. If I'm thinking about women, I'm thinking about like this idea that you have to be strong.
Yeah.
This idea that you have to be a version that is almost it's so crazy. I feel like people expect black women in particular to be so inhuman.
I know.
In their strength, in their poise, in their attitude.
I don't want to be Superwoman.
But then so human in their empathy, in their love, in their attention. And it's like, it's crazy. And on the other way, for men, I feel like we're taught to be so robotic in our movements, in our attitudes, in the way we interact. But I almost feel like at no point are black men expected to be human. I feel like we're almost supposed to stay in this realm. And and anytime we deviate from being a robot, it's either chastised from other women, other men, society, right? Like I couldn't imagine what it's like for some men who never got the chance to express how they really feel.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then, you know, boys grow up becoming men and women are like, yo, like, why can't you kick
me? Why can't you? I'm like, man, first of all, you said I was sweet if I didn't do it. Yeah. I mean, if I did do it.
Yeah.
You said I was sweet. Yeah. You said you like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what you really asking for? What you really act? And I don't even know how much more energy I can give it because I think honestly, from the moment of our conception, when we're born, I think our bodies are taken away from us. Honestly,
the moment of conception. I'm sorry.
Listen, no, for real. I'm about to start talking like Mr. Coach. The moment that we're born, I feel like our bodies are taken away from us in one way or another. It may not be like drastic, but the idea or the perception that you have to move a certain way, that you have to think a certain way. I think even on a larger scale, it may not even be just black people who deal with it.
Yeah.
Hold on, let it marinate.
Let it breathe.
Nah, look, I know that you had some questions that you wanted to ask.
I do want to ask a question. I have written it down because I think I'm a writer. I write things down. So I had a question, we were talking about safe spaces and, you know, referring to like, you know, the Mecca, essentially. I was gonna ask, like, can we truly create a safe space here in America? And I ask that because of the it's another word for this, but I can't. But like I'm drawing a blank in the word. But like the brainwashing that has happened and growing up and being American, Black American, can we truly create a safe space?
Yes. And no. No, I feel like that's always the same answer. Yeah. Yes and no.
Yeah, okay.
I say yes because we already have. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
I feel like Black people in America have already tried to create a safe space.
Okay.
I feel like what happens, though, mm-hmm. is our safe space gets infiltrated. And it no longer becomes ours.
Okay.
And I feel like we no longer are able to run our safe spaces in the way we want to. Mm-hmm. One of the ways I think about this is hip hop, right? Or music, mm-hmm. if you will, Black right. music, okay. right?
Yeah.
When I think about the people that I like to listen to, mm-hmm. right? Or when I think about the influx of certain type of music that we hear, mm-hmm. right? There's a reason for it. It's almost like that was it. Like we had it. Like we was hearing things that we were supposed to hear, not things that drew on our emotions or drew on our soul or drew on our addictions, yeah. right? But we was like supposed to hear that, whatever, yeah. right? Fight the power. And then all of a sudden that space got infiltrated and it no longer became ours. So in a way, I feel like we do. Naturally, I feel like we're going to create our own spaces. But and I also okay. feel like in America, it's always going to get infiltrated.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, do you think that, like, we also allow these spaces to get infiltrated? And I don't have the answer to that.
Do you want
to? I don't have the answer.
Hey, Alex, I'm about to do something real petty. I want you to say that question again, and then I want to end the podcast on that question.
That's so rude. So rude.
I'm about to do a real petty, so I want to see what people think. You annoying.
Go eat.
No, you. So go ahead and ask that same question, and then we're going to end it on the podcast. And I want y'all to drop in the comments. I want y'all to drop, you know, what y'all think to this question that Alex is about to say again.
So much pressure.
You remember the question, dude.
I was hoping it was gonna come to me. But it wasn't. Okay, but can I ask another question?
Alright, go ahead.
Dang.
You are hilarious.
Because it was like right, in the
if
moment.
If y'all remember it, please.
Okay, alright. Just this is my second question. And then we can, you know. Leave to ponder. So I think about literature like this, Between the World and Me, that breaks down like racism and what it does to the Black body. Mm. So my question was, do you think that we are past the point of explaining what race is, or like what racism is? Like what does it do to people? To Black people. Like, do you think we're past that point?
Great. Tune in to the podcast. Me, you, each and every Thursday, man. We got our sip and drink. Feel free to answer that question. Do you think we are past the point where we have to basically explain ourselves and what race is? Y'all, once again, it's the Fisherman. That's with two R's. Go ahead and introduce yourself, AB.
Okay, and Alley Cat.
Awesome. Feel free to follow us on every single platform, bringing you again the Shine Love Podcast. Make sure you tune in, like, and subscribe. Yeah. All
right.